there exists a subgroup, the nice guy. A dying breed of chivalrous, romantic, domesticated gentlemen whose qualities are desired by the opposite sex, allegedly. However, they are dismissed and confined in such concepts as the bestie, work husband, and the dreaded friend zone. Jason and Manny are the last of the nice guys.
Everybody.
All of a sudden, your audio just got weird.
Ooh.
There it is.
What do you mean weird?
I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. I was being weird.
at least he's consistent, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm very strange. I was born this way. I can't make it up. I go to sleep like this. I wake up like this.
Can't you just change? Can't you be different? Can't you be normal?
No. No, because what is normal?
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
Exactly.
So, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Avoiding Number 100. I'm Manny. I'm taking over the show. I've drawn up contracts. I have put guns to people's heads. And some people have died. That's what happens when you rumble in the Bronx. I'm in charge now. And it is all up to me to carry the torch that is this podcast.
I don't understand why I let you do the intro ever. Why we swap back and forth. I don't understand what any of that was. And is it bad that when you said so, I was preparing for my today to come afterwards? Right. Literally, I realized where I was. You're like, so. And I was like, OK, now I'm getting to the voice. Today. Yes.
Today.
Yes. Then I realized. Listen, man, I have to do my own thing. Yes. Another special Avoiding the 100th episode. Special episode of Last of the Nice Guys podcast. Today's topic is all Manny all day. And I'll promise you guys, I'll do a little less of a sermon this time because even I am tired of my voice.
Hi, the asshole for checking out.
So
really, what was that?
I unlocked my phone and it's
okay. Can you just not say we did? Tell on the topic and then say where it was inspired from and then play the audio.
So today's episode is in. What are we doing? We are responding to a video that Jason over there posted a while back.
In our group chat.
It's kind of hurtful what the wife said to the husband. But I felt like it was kind of comical, but hurtful at the same time. So I'm sure Jay will come up with a topic for this because I don't really can't think of it. Hurtful words, can't always get what you want, you know, whatever have you. Damn, this is a 2 minute and 42 second clip. I don't know if I want to play the whole thing,
but I don't remember the whole thing, so you can if you find a natural break, or we can break it up, we can talk about one half and then when we're done talking we play the other half.
I guess we could do that.
Look at that. Wow. See, this is why I'm the producer of this podcast.
Finally, somebody's doing some work around here.
Oh, snap.
Somebody that starts with the letter J. Anyways, so...
well, compared to the other letter J, I'm a stellar participant in this podcast.
Yep.
Almost model. The model participant.
The model.
The model. The shade.
So, off rip. I'm going to,
you know what, before you bring it up there, I want to make it very clear, guys, that when we do these podcast episodes, the former host Joe knows they're in the chat, and sometimes we actually chide him and rib him off rip to see if he'll get on here. Today was one of those days. Okay.
It literally just happened
where I told him that, we needed him here. We needed him here. And I'll actually, I will read to you guys exactly how I tried to inspire him. We said, Joe, get back on the mic. Your story, your experiences need to be shared. People must know out there, and they need to be reminded that there is no hope. You can't achieve your dreams no matter how hard you try. And life really is a sad, pathetic existence. Joe, please share your stories. So, of course, you know, he hasn't joined. So, and that's, of course, my best friend, ladies and gentlemen. But this is what we do. We rib each other to try and get him to get up here. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys. The last time I saw him when I was in Tampa, it was really a short trip, so I couldn't get him on mic. And the last time before that was when we were in Texas, and I told him I'll be there, but we have to do this. So it looks like if we're not in his presence, which is another reason why the 100th episode has to be in person, because it's probably the only way we're going to get him on for the 100th episode. But, you know, we do try. Anyway, without further ado.
Just in case anybody was asking whether or not we kicked him out or something.
No, exactly. No, he just
refuses.
He just refuses. But he doesn't know. No, refusing requires communication. He just ghosts us. So right now, I sent the text to our group chat saying I sent the meeting invite to both of you, and he stopped responding.
Yep. So my comment to that was we just killed a few trees over the electronic waste. Correct. Of that email.
But nothing. So yeah. So basically, hey, it is what it is. Can't say I'm not trying, but you know, when you can only reach out, and if they don't grab your hand, I don't know, some crap like that. All right, we're ready for the topic. Go ahead.
Okay, so hold on, bear with me for 1 second.
All this vamping, and you still don't have it ready?
I no, I was trying to, like, the lighting is better here, so I'm
who just cares about the this is a I podcast.
Do. Do you see this?
Look at
this.
Hold on now. The podcast is meant to be
no. Heard, I just realized that I am
the fact that I provide video. Searched. The fact that I provide video for our audience is as a courtesy because we're using Zoom, so we have the footage.
If it was up to me, searched in podcasts for whatever reason it is, so people want to see this glorious, lovely face.
They're searching for you they're searching for you on Apple Podcast, which is strictly audio. It's strictly audio. They don't see your face.
Okay, well, maybe somebody might want to get, you know, curious. Okay, don't slam me. Okay, whatever.
I'm sorry. That's why we need to do the meet and greets with Manny. That's it.
We're not doing that because that's going to be too expensive. Anyways.
So,
Jesus. So this video
running out of steam here.
Where's that? Oh, the video is on Facebook, and yeah, here we go. I don't know how loud I should put this.
Put it loud,
loud and proud. Ready, go.
I'm the asshole for checking out of my relationship after my wife said she wished I had a bigger dick, but we don't always get what we want. My wife, 34 female, and I, 34 male, have been married for 8 years, and we have a 5-year-old son. Over the past few months, my wife and I have occasionally been having arguments on finances. The main argument we've been having is that I want to take our family out on a vacation to a different state, but my wife wants to save up so we can travel abroad next year. Last month, my wife and I were having an argument again about this, and I was telling her a vacation would be really good for our family and our son. We talked back and forth, and I could sense my wife was getting exasperated, but I stood my ground.
Stand
I told
ground
her we
dog.
Could take a vacation now, and we could also go abroad next year. And my wife just lost her cool and said that the finances made that impractical, and that she also wished I had a bigger dick. But in life, we don't always get what we want. That stung me. Damn. I am aware I have an average size dick, but I've never had any complaints from anyone on it until now.
Damn right. Pause that right. Pause it right there. That was a natural conclusion right there. Okay. Damn. that's highly unnecessary. And here's the sad part about it, though, is that they're having an argument about a luxury. It's a luxury now. And usually women reserve those hurtful words when they're losing a fight, when they're losing a battle. You know what I'm saying? They tend to get emotional and say something hurtful. Maybe she was losing it to him, but to bring out those kind of guns just because you guys disagree on national or abroad is crazy. Which means what would she say to you when you guys have a real argument of substance, you know? Damn.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is one of those like petty situations that people, and I'm going to say people, but women tend to do because they're going after the male ego.
Correct.
And the male ego is a harmful
thing. The male ego is very phallic.
Yeah, it's very phallic and fragile. And that they know that's the only way they can get to us. Sorry. There we go.
What why?
Sorry. Because, man, like, it's bothering me.
I hate your found footage type vibe right now.
You know what?
It looks fine. Jesus Christ.
Look, hey, hi guys.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? So yeah,
probably the best camera angle you've given us in a long time, actually.
See? Thank you.
I know, but I'm just saying, but it's stupid. But
next time,
maybe do this in the 30 minutes that we're talking. That you know, because
I didn't think about it till afterwards, and I was like, course, let me finagle. I work my magic. Anyway. But to say such harsh words, especially to like your husband, this isn't like some boyfriend that you just started dating a couple of months ago or some dude you just met on the street. This is your husband of 8 years.
I disagree.
This is crazy.
I disagree. You want to know why? Why? It makes more sense that she did it to the husband of 8 years.
She's been sitting on it for too fucking long. That's the problem.
No. She's already locked in. That's it. So he's not going anywhere. So you can say whatever you want. I mean, technically, because what reasonable divorce hurts who?
Man.
Okay. Thank you very much. So he's already locked in. 8 years, they have a child. You're locked in. I can say whatever I want to you. You ain't going nowhere. Engaged?
Nah, fuck that.
You can. A boyfriend? That. You can. Somebody you're talking to? You can. But a husband is, I believe I said it before, that the statistic is husbands in the U.S. or in the Western world are treated the worst on overall in the world. Or have the worst mental health is what I understand. I don't remember what the statistics was. I brought it up in some episode a long, long time ago. But men, husbands, spouses in the Western world, especially in, I think it was just the U.S. though, have the worst mental health compared to Eastern Europe and Asia and all the other stuff. So, of course, it makes a lot of sense. She would say something. She would have said it to him if he just put a ring on it. She would definitely not say that to him if they were dating. Or she might. But the likelihood of her feeling comfortable, you could say that, because where are you going to go? You're going to be sleeping in this bed tonight. You're going to be coming to this house. You're going to be bringing the bread around. You ain't going nowhere.
No, that wouldn't have been me. My mental health is and sanity is far more important than whatever.
Then what? Then your wallet? Then your
Yeah, pain. I'll take the L, because you know what?
You take Think the L.
about it. I'll take the L because mental health in the long run, the worse and worse it gets, the more and more it's going to cost you, because you're going to stop yourself from doing anything. And then you're going to start believing the shit that you're told. You're going to think that you're no good for anything.
You don't think by getting divorced because of that, you're trading one potential mental health crisis for another. I watched a video, and I think I put it in the group chat, where this guy who was, you know, very successful, he said what divorce did to him. What it did to his finances, to his sobriety, to his mental health, and basically it completely crushed him as a man. It crushed him personally.
What was the divorce based on? Did he initiate divorce?
Or no. She did.
Okay, but that's a whole different aspect. This is the guy getting treated like shit,
right?
Getting spoken to like shit,
correct?
And being like, "Am I the asshole because I can't deal with this anymore?"
Right.
Yes, but it hurts your finances and your bank account, but
you're trading one mental health crisis for a potential another mental health crisis. The question is, which one is greener? Is your pride worth the financial ruin you might have?
And it's not even about pride, bro. It's pride.
It's pride.
That's sanity. I don't want to be told that I have a little dick every day or think about it every day. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you think if he gets divorced from her, he's not going to be like, "Damn it, I divorced her." But yeah, you know, I wonder if another woman is going to think my dick is up to par. That's it. It hit him. It's in his head.
I saw this. No, I know that, but I saw this this meme the other day. It's what's his name? The Russian guy from Rocky.
You mean the actor?
Love Grunston or whatever his name
Don,
is.
Dolph Lundgren. I know I'm working on his
Dolph alcohol. Lundgren. So it says, you know, it's a picture of him and Rocky. Uh-huh. And it says on the top of it, it says, when I give her 4 inches as hard as I can. And on the bottom it says, if she dies, she dies. Well, the point is, somebody out there appreciates an average side follicle.
Well, they have to appreciate it because that's the vast majority of men. They're average or below size.
Right. And most women understand, or I'm just saying the sane women understand that you don't need this much, and this much to get
most,
off.
Most women don't even want that, to be honest with you. They think about it, but they don't want it when they get it. It's too much.
I mean, I tell you, when I walk into those sex stores, I get scared. I'm just like, no, I can't. Oh. Or whenever I come out the shower and take a scope in the mirror, I'm just like, oh, I couldn't. Nope, not this guy. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Wait, we're talking about something else, right?
That's sorry. Right. That's right. That's right.
Sorry, I got.
I don't want to be very clear. This man's unit clearly did the job. They got a kid, so it hit the spot.
Clearly, no, because you know a lot of women out there can fake it and fake it till you make it type situation.
No,
I would do in the situation.
You need something to get it in there so you can get that procreation going.
What I would do in this situation, if that was ever brought to me like that or whatever, I would put her in a situation where she would cheat, you know, because that nulls alimony payments. And it kind of throws the divorce in your favor. So I would be doing everything I could. But like, you know what?
One, it's a lot of work. And two,
go to the homies or whatever. You know, everybody has locker room talking. But like, hey,
you're right.
You know,
but then here's the thing. Then the intermediation and discovery. We just talked about this. The woman's going to try to villainize you to say what made her go that route, and that you weren't something. So you know, she'll try that. She will.
Hey, listen.
Infidelity does not nullify, or adultery does not nullify the requirements for child support and or alimony. It doesn't. It can, but it doesn't. Not all the time.
It can, especially if you can prove that the fault is entirely on her.
It is hard. Absolutely.
Listen, my homie over here with, you know, Big Jamal, that's like 7'2" with a 63-inch giant ham hock.
Goddamn.
Listen, I got DNA evidence. I got panties. I got video.
Yo, you can prove the act, but then you have to say, listen, this makes them a terrible person, versus her saying, well, he did this and this and this, and he was not emotionally there, which drove me to another man. It becomes a he say, she say. It becomes a nightmare.
But the other thing is, if you can prove, you have documentation of like the hurtful shit that she was saying or whatever, mental health has played a lot and a huge part in divorce court now. They actually pay attention to it a lot more. So the emotional abuse of it can definitely tip favors now.
Okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it. I don't know. So let's get back to the video in question. What was the ending question? Is it wrong to check out of your marriage because she said that to you, right?
Yeah. The beginning question was, am I the asshole for wanting to check out?
Okay. All right. So where we are now, let's answer that question. What do you say? What say you, sir?
I'm definitely getting the hell out of here.
Okay.
I'm done. Like I said, I would rather take financial ruin than getting beat up every day.
Because financial ruin ends.
It's not going to be forever.
It depends. If alimony stays pretty much the same, I think alimony goes away when they get remarried, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She doesn't get remarried, her finances don't change, and your finances don't change. No, it could be forever.
But here's the twist now. Our president has nationally made or recognized what do they call it?
Yes.
What do they call it when you're together for like a certain amount of years? Common law marriage.
Common law marriage. Yeah.
He's nationalized common law marriage. So there's no getting away with it. If you're with somebody long enough, you're technically married, and you're going to get
if you're cohabitating with them, though, not if you're in a relationship.
There's ways to figure that out.
No, you have to be cohabitating with them. They have to actually be living with you.
Right. You're living with somebody or whatever.
Yeah. The law has to be several years worth of mail and being or whatever.
Can you imagine the breaking up the rate? But like, listen, I got to break up with you in like October before we hit yeah, 7 years what or I'm whatever. Saying.
What it makes like, me think twice about moving in with the woman first before getting married, or if not, or don't move in if you don't intend to get married and have like a set date. Don't sit on it for a hot minute. Be like, okay, I'm going to move in with you, live together for a year or two, then get engaged. So when that common law hits,
the sales of diamonds are going to go down and shit, because if I don't have to propose to you anymore and we're technically married at this point, why buy you a ring?
Oh, because women aren't going to settle for that.
If you convince somebody, you know, hey, listen, like, fuck you.
I like your weird brand of negative optimism. It's fantastic. I'll answer the question now. That's a real not a filler word. It's not a filler word. I don't think I would dip out. It depends on the context. From what I can understand with the story, this is the first time she said this to him. And I would like, I mean, we're going to listen to the rest of it. I would assume this is maybe the first time she's done something like this, you know, out of pure frustration. I would take the context of heat of passion. Women have heat of passion. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, if this definitely was like the first like incident of it or whatever, I, you know, take it, put it in that little chest, file it away, lock it up, put it back there, and then withhold sex for the like the longest time.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Withhold it, and then when she starts grabbing for him, like, oh, so you want this little dick, huh? Is that what you want?
No. I didn't get to that point. There are always consequences. There is retaliation, and I'd be fine. You know, I would be okay with it, but please believe I wouldn't try and make a move. I wouldn't touch you. You would eventually notice that you're not touching me or trying to touch me, because I, you know, and then when you try, I'll just be like, I'll be passive aggressive. But no, I'm not really feeling it. But thanks, though. Mwah. And that's really about it. And eventually she would, and it would, I probably wouldn't again. So one of two things will happen. Either she'll acknowledge the fact that, oh, you know what, that's probably what did it, or it'll cause more problems. What's the bitch's name? Yeah, I know you're stepping out on me.
Yeah, it's going to cause more problems. What was the last episode that we just had? How they can't take accountability for shit.
Exactly,
that
exactly.
So that's all that's going to happen. And she's going to be like, well, I didn't say or do anything. He's changed. She's going to go to all her friends.
Oh, yeah.
He's changed. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, my God. Her family. Like, oh, my God. He's so different now. Like, he won't even touch me anymore.
Girl, he must be seeing somebody. You need to go through his phone. You need to follow him. You need to find out what's going on.
Hire a private investigator. Here's the card.
Okay. Yeah. That's the sad part about it, though, is that the lack of accountability would mean that you might cause more problems. And in all reality, I'm just like, nah, I'm not, I don't, it's hard to want to perform for somebody that just attacked your man meat. Cause then while you're getting it in, I would fail to say that maybe keeping an erection with her would be hard, because you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what she said, and you don't really know if that was a heat of passion and that's how she really feels, because sometimes the heat of passion brings out exactly how they feel, that but they're holding back, you know, and they say just to be hurtful. Maybe she does want a larger, you know, penis or penile size and never wanted to say anything because you're just such a great guy and a great potential husband and such a great father, but man, if you just had a larger unit, you know. And by the way, there are these things, these are penile extension thingies where you can put it on the tip and it extends your man meat.
Well, what I would do is I would visit a sex store and buy her the, you know, the size that she refers to or whatever, and then whenever we get in, I'd smack her in the face, be like, this is how you like it, this is what you want now. Give her that little reminder, you know?
All right.
Have I seen a doctor? Yes.
I was going to say, have you considered, you know, mental
therapy?
Health, you know, therapy,
They've concluded that...
Half black men in our society do avoid their mental health. I'm just going to make it very clear.
They've decided that I am... high risk.
Okay.
There's no fixing me. No.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm just broken. Sorry.
Okay. But anyway, back to the reality. It depends on, like I said, context. I need to know how many times she said it. How many times she said it? Is this a natural, a normal thing for her? And more so than that, could I rationalize it as being just a heat of passion? And especially since, there will be retaliation. I will be quiet, whatever. Are you going to acknowledge it? Are you going to apologize? Are you going to double down on it?
What's crazy is the fact that he says, I'm fully aware that I have...
Well, no, some guys, penis. Listen, in the other group chat I have, you know, we talk about girth and whatever. Some of us say, I'm below average. I'm average. I guess the job done.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had conversations with any of my homies to that effect.
I've had conversations.
I have plenty of homies, sir. Thank you. I've joked jokingly with women that asked or said something about it. Like, you don't go around asking men. No. How does it feel as a grown ass man to go to another dude and be like, hey, pull it out. Let me see what
the difference is between yours and mine. Well, that's not how the conversations go.
Let me take a picture.
Not how it happens. It's just typically when we're ribbing on each other and somebody says off rip, you know, that you're tiny. He's like, well, I know I'm tiny. I mean, but it, guess what it's done? Oh, well, you know what? I'm average. It, you know, comes out in the
So joke. I would jokingly tell them, like, listen, the only other penis that I've ever seen in my life was my son's, and compared to him, I'm huge.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been lying to myself my entire life. I thought I was ginormous.
Yeah. You know, I've never measured. I've thought about it just for the hell of it, you know, but I'm just like, okay, well, then you got to fluff yourself up and you got to flaccid it and then erect. I'm just like, I ain't got time for all this.
All I know is I've never had any complaints and I've never told anything crazy like this to me with what I'm working with. So right. I'm just
well, you don't have any complaints because you have not forced a woman to call you out on your lack of performance. With your behavior.
That's not true. I've done some really shady shit to some women that I did not care for when we dated. You've been
married for 3 decades.
Well, before my 3-decade marriage.
High school and junior high school don't count.
No, there was a short time after high school before my 350,000 year marriage.
Your summer vacation between vocational school and high school does not count. You have zero dating in your young adult life. You
that is married not true,
for
sir.
45 years.
That is not true. I have, before I met my wonderful, beautiful, God graced me, I can't think of anything else nice to say. Lovely wife of 300,000 millennium years.
Ex-wife is, you know.
I'm talking about the wife of that time frame is what I'm referring to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the time frame.
Oh, gotcha.
I've never
dated.
I've dated before her. There was plenty of dating and a lot of
between gym class and library session. I know.
Yeah, of course, because you know there was the behind the cubicles and underneath the what you call them things.
Yeah, locker rooms and behind the bleachers.
Yeah, the bleachers
during homecoming.
Sometimes even study time, like you know, I was independent study.
It's not so independent.
Table,
if you know what I mean.
I was depending on things to happen, and it happened. You know, but there have been plenty of times that I've done, but I've never, not once, has anybody told me something. Nothing you negative.
You haven't had enough experience. I'm sorry.
I've been told by somebody I dated in the past that with what I'm working with, I should be having sexual intercourse at least 5 times a day. And I looked at her and said, she's crazy.
Well, I mean, okay. All right. Okay. What, at what age? I don't want to say married because that doesn't count. But at what age? Your son, right? You were married when he was born or conceived or after the fact?
I was married after.
Okay. So we're going to start from meeting that woman. How many years were you single before meeting that woman that you were able to date? Because that's a long time ago.
I want to say about 6 or 7 years.
And what age range is that? 16 to 21?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, how about this? You met her at what age?
I think I was like 28.
You met her at 28?
Mm-hmm.
You met her at 28?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you had, okay, all right. All right, so I take that back then. So you had the vast majority of your 20s.
Yeah.
My bad.
In my early 20s, when I was slinging drinks, I was slinging
ding-a-ling. Okay, all right, okay. I retract my statement. Okay, so you did have a good solid 8 years. Well, let's say 18, 10 years. You had a decade to date. Okay, so but if you have a decade worth of stories, you don't share anything on this podcast.
I share a few things.
You not enough, because it seems like you don't relate to the dating experience so much. I mean, yes, it has been. It's been 20, 30 years ago.
What was my thing? I said I hated dating. And the idea of going back to that
right.
absolutely irks the shit out of me.
But because you didn't cite any sources. But you didn't cite any sources. Like, you didn't tell
in
us.
In my 20s, those are my entire sources. Those are experiences.
We know nothing about.
Well, what the hell? You don't ask me the proper questions, so I don't need to.
Dude, I've literally asked you for examples, and you're like, oh, no, I haven't been. I've been married forever, and I've had kids forever, so I don't know. I can't relate.
I can't remember half of the shit that happened. I mean, I drank my way through.
That's true. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Yeah.
I didn't. Who drinks? Well, you know, I did drink cocaine a little bit. You know,
yes,
I mean,
right.
It happens. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
All right, whatever. Go play the rest of this message and let's whatever. Because now I'm disappointed and kind of annoyed.
let me turn this back on.
But then you have no excuse. If you don't remember the poor dating in your 20s, then you have no excuse to say you don't want to go back to that. If you don't remember what you're going back to, I understand if you say, okay, I don't ever want to be married again.
I'm talking right now. About dating. I said in my youth, when I did date, most of my dating or relationship started based on friends.
Correct.
The foundation of friendship started.
Okay.
That's where that comes from.
Okay. So
I didn't date strangers. I was never like that. I'm correct, never going to be like that.
But you don't even want to entertain dating in general, period. Even if it's somebody you met and just got, that's what I'm saying. What you came to this conclusion. I know why I came to this conclusion. Actually, the entire world knows why I came to this conclusion. Thanks to this podcast. But You've never actually given a sufficient example as to why you have no interest in even pursuing dating the way you have pursued it, right? I understand if you said I never be married again. I get it. We got examples. We know what.
I won't get married again.
All right, thank you. You said that. But what I'm saying though is that we understand the context behind that. We understand. Okay, we know why Manny won't get married again, but we have no context to explain why Manny will never date again or choose not to date again or has no interest in dating again, because we have no context for that.
You don't need context. I said that the whole idea of having to start all over again to you know, learn another person and to figure out whether or not they're going to be in my life for a long period of time. I don't care to do that again, because I've done it before. I've done it plenty of times before, and I have no interest in doing it again.
You haven't done it since in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
The process of courting.
So, have you ever built yourself
someone so bad it makes you cry? Have you ever needed some what? Sleep at night. Have you ever tried?
Anyways,
hard to find the words.
Have you ever put a goal plan together?
Have you ever
finally achieved the goal? And then once you achieved the goal, you were like, fuck this. And then you walked away from the goal, right? And you were like, I can figure out something else.
So
I've done this in two different aspects of my life.
Okay.
Dating
and
work.
Okay, work is work. Okay, I see what you're saying, but I just you don't know what the landscape. I mean, you have an idea, but you haven't experienced the current landscape for you to be like, you know what, I'm not digging this. That's like saying you rode a bike 20 years ago and you had a lot of false starts. It's been 20 years later. I don't ever want to get back on a bike again, because 20 years ago, it just didn't work out for me. But you don't know how the bikes are made now. They're made better now. There's different. There's e-bikes now. There's a, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying dating is better now, but
I have a broad spectrum of people.
Yeah, you are on the spectrum.
I am on the spectrum. depends on the graph that you're looking at.
Yeah, true.
That I speak to.
Uh-huh.
On their dating woes, that gives me enough information.
That's not
that
you.
Proves,
that's not you. That's
no,
not
it's not
your,
me.
But it's not it your proves, experience.
It proves enough to me
yes.
that I have no reason to go back out there.
Okay. All right.
Because I know just
sound like,
hearing.
It sounds like excuses.
No, it just
it sounds like
hearing,
it sounds like
hearing,
you're afraid. It sounds
afraid
like you're scared.
I don't like wasting my time. And a lot of these young heads like to waste time. And I'm not with that life.
I feel you. It's not a priority. I get it. I still
it's not been a priority for me for years, and I'm happy for that.
Well, you can't say for years. Well, I mean, how long have you been unmarried?
365,000 years.
No, how long have you been unmarried? No dead air. This should be the best day of your life, so you should know this fight by heart. Was it three? Not 20, 3 years.
What are we at? Oh, it's only been like maybe 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Time flies.
Feels like it. No, it just, it feels like it's been so much longer.
Oh, that's peace. That's real peace there, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason why he doesn't want to date again, because he feels peace. So much peace that so much time has gone by. Okay, cool. All right. Let's play the rest of it, since I've spent a lot of time nagging you about dating. I just want the content.
Shit.
What now?
The video disappeared. Hold on.
Fantastic. So yeah.
Oh, no, there it is. It I got it. Oh, and it started right back up. Cool.
Fantastic.
All right. Here we go.
I've never had any complaints from anyone on it until now. And to hear it from my wife, it just numbed me. It then checked out of the conversation. And my wife instantly apologized after she said that. I told her it was okay. And then I went to sleep. From the next day on, however, I distanced myself from my wife. See? Just focused on work and my son. That's my wife tried to initiate a conversation and apologized multiple times, but I usually just ignored her or told her to let it go. I also started eating out, as I did not want to eat my wife's dinner. My wife initiated sex one night, and I told her to get off me. My birthday was a few days ago, and I ignored my wife when she wished me a happy birthday, and when she tried to kiss me. We didn't do anything for my birthday, and when my wife gave me a gift, which was packaged with also a handwritten letter,
I threw that shit out. I told her
to return it. I have no idea what was the gift or what was written in the letter, and I really don't care. I am at my limit now, and I know this is not healthy or sustainable.
No, this is more than just a dick joke. So I seriously started
considering divorce, but I also wanted to get an opinion from the people I trusted most in the world, my two siblings. My brother thinks I should at least consider marriage counseling first before proceeding with divorce,
he
doesn't think this is worth jumping straight to divorce for.
My sister
has the opposite opinion, and she thinks I'm still young and fit, and I have a long life ahead of me, and it should be very easy for me to get someone
that's who's weird.
Much more beautiful than my wife, both on the exterior and the interior. Am I the asshole for checking out a...
Yeah, I wouldn't expect sister to be like, get the fuck back out there, bro.
Exactly, but I would think maybe the guy is more like a cheaper to keeper kind of thing. Maybe that's why he's saying that. But the woman, the sister, I mean, maybe it's because of familiar mentality. That's like, you're my family, and I don't want you being treated so poorly. But I want to make it very clear.
Sister never liked her.
That too. But I'm going to be serious. I think there's more to it. It sounds like this was the last straw.
Yeah,
this wasn't the first thing, because the way he's responding and the way he went purely numb, it's like little drops in a cup. And that finally made it spill over. There is more. I think he's not, you know, or he's been looking for a reason to subconsciously or unconsciously a reason to check out of the marriage. He didn't want to be there, and he found his excuse, and his main is locked in there. I'm not saying what she said was right or wrong, but clearly he said it right afterwards. She apologized immediately after she said it, and she's been trying to make amends ever since. As opposed to the scenario that I said, where they'll either do that, take accountability, or will take your behavior as like, oh, you're cheating, and escalate things. She did it the right way. She apologized, and she's really trying her best. Unless he doesn't say it, but unless his the size of his unit is like a sore topic for him, and she knew this, kind of like, you know what I'm saying, like that's why your dad was alcoholic, or that's why, you know, something, you know, something that really hit him, you know, like for me a sore topic for me is my father, like, and if you it happened one time where you know, I got into it with somebody and they said, you know, you're acting like your father, and that, I mean, I'm talking about when I said I saw red, I probably just blacked out, you know, so that's how angry I was when that was said to me, because I have a complex. I realized that thanks to watching Black Panther about my parentage, and that my entire parenting of my sons is literally the antithesis, the exact opposite of how my father handled me when I was younger. So when you do that, you know, it kind of, and the same thing, like the previous episode where I said that I'm trying to be a good guy, and then you compared me to your ex-husband who you spent many times saying how awful and terrible and shitty he was, and then you compared me to him just because I did one thing that you didn't appreciate, right? That set me off, you know, it's kind of a thing. So that's different. So if his penile size is not like a sore topic for him or something, maybe he got injured there, then he was already on his way out. I do think he's the asshole for trying to check out because there's something else there. We're missing some context. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think there's a lot missing there. I'm sure there's a lot of conversations where we're isolating their relationship experience just based on this one.
That's how he posted it. He said, "Am I an asshole for checking out this relationship because she said this? Not after years of abuse, or she knows my history, or she knows that."
And that's the problem with these Reddit reviews is that they start off with "Am I the asshole?" Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot of context missing from the situation. So we don't really know, you know, how far back this goes or if this was just an isolated incident.
Exactly. But you see what I'm saying, guys, and I'm being real. This is the reason why when I tell my personal stories on this podcast, I go into a long rant before telling you the situation because I want you to know the context, you know, whether I look like a dick or not, or whether they look like a dick or not. I give you the full context as best as I can do it impartially while throwing in my commentary. Then I go into it. So if I wrote this thing, I'd have given you the whole context about my marriage, if there was something to give that would inform you into this statement. But as it is written or as it is placed in this forum, I think you're the asshole. I think you should recognize that she is trying. You know, the silent treatment is over. You know, she's clearly you know working on it. She wrote you a letter. She's trying to get things. I think you're taking it a little too far.
I think there's something more.
You need counseling. Brother, forget marriage counseling.
I think the brother was right on this one to seek counseling before deciding what to do on this because
he needs to seek counseling to find out why is it that one comment out of pocket as it was, but again she didn't let it stew. She apologized right after your words. You need to go to counseling to find out why did that set you off and why did that blow up? It blew up everything. Yep. And you're willing to just like, I'm done, like actually done. There's more to it. He needs to go to counseling. And then maybe if they identify that there is a problem in the marriage, then she can go. But this is on him, buddy. Absolutely. Yeah,
I think the brother was right to seek counseling on it first because there's no context or whatever. I mean, again, if he's emotionally dealing with something like this for years, then jump ship. But if you don't know, I mean, that's the problem. Like you have one brother that says, oh, seek counseling, and the sister that's just like, you know, run away. But without further context on how much more or how much crap he was dealing with, it's hard to figure out.
I don't think we need further context. I'm going to take it as he's presented it. This is what he presented. If there was more context, he would have said, and she has said stuff like this before, or she has a history of doing this, or she has a history of you know, he would have said something else too, because just like I said, women aren't the only one who do this. Men do it too. To justify these kind of things, you're going to put the person in a light that seems worse, or at least provide context that helps you. You are literally trying to get you're sourcing affirmation for your behavior. So you're going to give enough context to get the desired response from people. You know what I'm trying to say? He didn't give enough of that. He just said, she said, my dick is small in a fight because we wanted to go to vacation. That's it. And then you gave your repercussions, your retaliation, which I totally agree with most of it. Well,
my issue is this, again, this conversation and argument started on taking a vacation for the family.
Correct.
It wasn't like he was trying to go do something by himself.
Correct.
Or neither one of them were trying to do something by themselves.
Correct.
It was something for the family that they just disagreed on. And then out of nowhere, she hit this up. Now, wouldn't it be crazier is if there was more conversation that he did not even state that was included in this fight? And he's just like, all I heard was that I got a little dick. And there was probably like a bunch of other things that he ignored or didn't pay attention to until you have a little dick.
I disagree. I said,
wouldn't it be interesting if it was?
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't see it because I honestly really believe what he says. Because like I said, men will tell the facts as is. They usually don't embellish because we're not that smart. We're not that creative.
We also don't tend to elaborate on details that we do not care for.
Correct.
So she could have been complaining and venting off a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
And he was just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care about that. Or I don't care. And then she was like, are you even paying attention to me, you little ass dick? And you go, now I got a little dick. Wait, so out of the 10 things I just said.
Yeah.
That was the only thing you're focusing on?
What about
the other 10 things?
Well, that's also
a possibility.
It's a possibility. It is a possibility. And I totally get that. But I'm going to take it at face value. I honestly think she was really frustrated. They were probably having this conversation. And for whatever reason, going abroad means something to her. And I agree because let's keep it real. I have little interest traveling within the States. I want to go abroad, especially if it's for your child and you want to have an experience. Why would you want to waste money doing something, I wouldn't say local, but nationally, where you can do something even better internationally, kind of a thing. Kind of like why I would probably never go to New York again for a while, because the money would cost to go and stay in New York. I could take that exact same money and have a really great time in a different country, kind of a thing. So I get it. And when he's like, well, we can do both. Yeah. But then if we do what you want to do, we're pushing out what I want to do, which I think is a better option, a better thing. To maybe future into the future, it may not ever happen at all, kind of a thing. You know, so the real question is, why does he want to go to do something sooner than just waiting for the bigger adventure? You know what I'm saying? But again, I think she said it out of pure frustration. She was annoyed. Like, you don't get why this means.
He even says it. He said in the conversation that he saw that she was getting exasperated or whatever.
Correct.
Makes sense.
Right. So that's it. That's it. I think it was a heat of passion. And when she said it, she probably saw the look on his face and she's like, oh, shit. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. That's fine. It's good. I got to go.
There's 20 seconds left.
On what?
On the video.
Oh, in the video? Okay. Play it and then we can wrap this up.
All right. Here we go.
Fantastic.
My relationship and considering divorce.
Really, everyone sucks. The comment was very unnecessary. And I don't know why it had to get taken there.
It feels like he's being a little sensitive over it. If you're that hurt, communicate, work on it, or be done.
If you ask a man...
And I don't know why...
If you ask a man...
Why it had to get taken there.
It feels like he's being a little sensitive over it. If you're
That's the end of the video. Sorry.
I mean, I'm not against him being sensitive over it. It's not fun, I guess, but I agree. Get over it or just walk away. But when you walk away, it's going to be hard to be like, okay, well, why'd you get divorced? Well, she said I wish you had a bigger dick. That's it. You see what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm not saying, oh, and again, we just did a topic that was about elaborating and making up stuff to make you look better. I'm not saying now he needs to concoct reasons, you know, and if it really that means that much to him, but he's going to have to justify that to himself. Like really, you blew up your entire family for this? You create a broken home for this comment? If there's not anything more and it really is just this and it hit you that hard, you've got to seek therapy. On your own first. Find out what it was. Maybe a girl said this to you, you know, your first true love in high school or elementary school. Something must have happened. Maybe somebody pulled down his pants and already pointed and laughed. It's got to be something, some kind of trauma there. I'm sorry. It has to be some kind of trauma for you to react like this and really take it this far. I agree with the retaliation. I agree with the whole withholding sex. I agree with the whole, you know, not speaking or whatever. I don't know the whole. You better throw out that. You better throw out that pick that present. I don't want that shit. All right now. I mean, come on. You know, something's got to give here. Like, what's something really happened? Like, she didn't slap your mama. She didn't cheat on you. Like, you're acting like she did some grave infidelity or unforgivable act on you instead of just speaking out of turn. She said sorry, and she wrote, and then she keeps saying sorry, and she wrote you a handwritten letter that you didn't even read. I mean, so there's something else there, dog. Let's talk about it. You know,
I mean, definitely. I think because again, we don't know the whole situation, and we just take it at face value. If this was the first time that it happened, yeah, learn to forgive the first time. You are 8 years into a marriage. You have a family together. However, I would let it strictly be known. This is the first and only time you get this.
Don't you ever
the next come out of pocket
ever seen off rip yeah, again.
The next time you come out the mouth.
The next time you come out the mouth, it's I'm out. Okay. I'm gonna slap a bitch.
I'm slapping bitches. I'm just catching hands.
I'm stomping you out.
you're gonna be unrecognizable when the cops show up. You know what I mean? They're gonna be like, "Who's this?"
And I'm still gonna ask you to make me a sandwich. I'm still gonna make you a sandwich.
I told her to make me a sandwich, and she came out the kitchen looking like that. I don't know what happened, yo. She jacked up.
Ma'am, is that true? Did your husband ask you to make him a sandwich? You declined, and you said he had a little dick.
Can you imagine the cop? Get this bitch out of here.
Get out of here. We got a 401 here.
Yeah, we're gonna arrest your stupid ass. That's yo, right. What the hell?
You should be okay. Do you need assistance? Do we need to put you up in a shelter? Because you seem like you're being attacked. You are the one that's in some kind of domestic abuse.
It's okay. We got your back.
That's it. What do you mean? we're making light of it. All right. Well, final thoughts on this thing. I mean, I think we pretty much said our piece, but you know, if you want to say some more, because you know,
I'm Dr. Manny.
You were Dr. Manny.
Ooh.
Yes. Right.
Past tense.
That's
huh?
right. That's right.
I didn't listen. I didn't give up my honorary doctorate. So you can kiss my ass. it's still there somewhere.
Forget that. Give us a dear Dr. Manny outro for this. Tell us from Dr. Manny what this guy should do, and we'll end it with that. I like that better.
So Dr. Manny says that you're definitely going to need to seek some sort of what do you call it?
Therapy.
I was going to say special help.
He needs some therapy. Special help.
You're going to definitely need to seek some therapy and realign yourself, because if such nonsense triggers you that easily and that much, there's definitely something wrong.
Yes, there's something else there.
Now, if you were to have been dealing with this for a long time of beating down and battery from verbal battery, I should say, then I understand.
No, then get out of there. Yeah.
But in this aspect, just based off of reading this verbiage, counseling is definitely a must. It needs to be taken care of on both parties, because there's really no reason why the wife should have came out this way. You disagree with Nurse Jason and you talk about it after the show.
No. I disagree on both parties, because she already acknowledged it and has been trying, has been working on it. He's just not receptive, right? I honestly believe it needs to be him first. If they recommend him first for like a few sessions, and then if they recommend couples counseling because he's revealed there's underlying dissatisfaction with his marriage, I get it. But right now, I don't think she needs any of that crap. She spoke out of turn. She realized it immediately afterwards. He needs to go to counseling. He needs to go to therapy for a hot minute by himself.
That's what I mean. He needs to see counseling first, and then it should be like group effort afterwards, because clearly having arguments and being spoken to in this manner is not healthy in anybody's relationship. So there needs to be an exercise that they normally give during these. Like, you know, instead of saying this, say this.
You should. You should say, I think it'd be in your best interest. No, I hate that wordplay.
Instead of saying, you know how you said, I wish you had a bigger dick.
Yeah.
You should have said,
I wish I had a smaller cooch. I don't know.
I wish my walls were.
Yeah. I wish my walls were tighter and smaller, so I could fully enjoy your lack of length.
Definitely counseling is a must for him. And maybe a couple of sessions afterwards. Cause if you, like you said earlier, if you're willing to throw out your family and your marriage over an isolated incident, you should have never been married in the first place.
Yep.
because people say people say things off rip, out of pocket,
all the time,
out of anger.
We're all human
with emotions or whatever, because not everybody knows how to deal with their emotions properly.
Well,
especially if you've never had the opportunity to do that.
It's not just about that. It's just that we all have our moments where we just kind of snap. It's human,
right?
To snap and
click. But
I didn't say it's right. But then when having the emotional intelligence or the accountability to be like, yo, you know what? I shouldn't.
That takes time. That's what I'm saying.
It does take time, but she clearly had the emotional intelligence to understand that she came out of pocket. She knows she said the wrong thing, and let's be reasonable. Most women don't do that.
Nope.
They won't.
She definitely took accountability. Correct. And she tried.
Most women do not say sorry. They do not accountable. They'll wake up the next morning like all is well, and then because you're not ready to pretend like all is normal, and they will not address it, and then you'll be forced to be the one to be like, yo, are we just not gonna like address the fact that you just said that you wish I had a bigger dick? Like, do you understand how it made me feel? Boy, get over it. Move on.
I've done that before. I've come into conversations where, it's like, oh, the argument ensued. Some things were said.
Yep.
And then later on in the day, it was acted and pretended like nothing ever happened.
Correct.
And then let's just say, oh, so are we going to watch a movie later or, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like if nothing like earlier in the day didn't exist.
Correct.
And oh, can we do this? Whatever. And I sat there and I was like, so we're going to pretend like you weren't just a fucking crazy person 2 or 3 hours ago. And I'm still not feeling the effects of that. Like, I don't understand how you could just switch that on and off easily.
That's what I'm saying. It's the heat of passion. It's it's like lighting a match. The match flares up, but that same match, it dies quickly. It
burns out.
Once it burns out, it can't be relit again, and it's but garbage.
Here's the other part of that scenario. Once that match is lit and burnt out, it's never the same again. Therefore, the situation will never be the same after that.
Correct, but that's the match is not the situation. The match is the woman. And once it's burned out,
right? Her differently after that.
Correct.
She looks different.
She looks different to you, but she's taken that same match. She's tossed it. She's got a new match. She's ready to go. That's the difference. We will still see that burnt mass or the effects of that match, but she's already tossed it. And it's all cool and it's all good to go and we're ready to go. And what do you mean you're not ready to just accept that I'm fine without us acknowledging anything, kind of a thing? That's typical. I've seen that with many.
It happens
many,
a lot. Many,
it all happens the time,
a lot.
All the time. Because it's accountability. They don't want to. And it's fine. It's not fine, but it's normal.
It's not fine. And we have to stop normalizing that as
true.
It being okay.
I apologize. It's not fine. It's just, that's just the dead person in me saying it's fine. Cause that's why I don't deal with it. But, no, you're right. That's the passive aggressive. It's fine. I'm fine. Whatever. I'm walking away.
It needs to be abolished. It needs to be,
good luck with that.
I know. I it's impossible. No one's going
to
stop that.
It's impossible because you refuse to get back out into the dating game to teach these women that this is not the behavior that a high value man is going to appreciate.
You're trying to make me into the next Kevin Hart where I just get on podcasts and Zoom calls whatever
Kevin,
the hell he's using.
Kevin Samuels, that's one.
And start telling these people to shut up.
No. He did it on a platform. I want you to go woman by woman, date by date.
No. No,
and I want you, to show them that. Look, if you want a high value man like me, okay, with my bone structure, my penile length, my work ethic, my humor, my charm, then you need to come correct. And if you're not, peace out. And let me just say right now, once you go Manny, you feel like a fanny. I don't know. So the fact of the matter is, though, is that. Once a lady gets a taste of Manny, she kind of gets hooked. And when he takes that away because she wasn't acting right, it's going to cause an existential crisis. You can save the dating game one date, one woman,
no,
one inch at a time.
There was one inch, several inches there, sir. Anyways,
I said one inch at a time.
There was actually an ex of mine that I dated way, way back in, the 1900s.
40 years ago.
In the 1900s. And where she was an absolute alcoholic, where I was...
You knew this when you got with her?
No. Okay, I met her. I was bartending. She was one of my
Oh, so you're the enabler.
Customers. No. So she was one of my customers, and... she would leave where I bartended at.
Can I stop you right there? Did you do like the risky business or whatever it was where they're throwing things up in the air and shaking it? And
it's called flaring, sir. Flare, yes, okay. I used to flare.
Did you flare, really?
Yeah, I did.
God flare. Damn, and back then there was no real cameras like that. Dang, nope. What I would give to see that kind of footage. You still got it? What do you think?
Probably not.
No?
Probably not. I haven't done that in 20-something years.
I'm going to have to buy some cheap alcohol and whatever, and you come over and just try. If you break some shit, it's fine. But I got to see this. I've got to see this. Sorry, carry on. So you were enabling a drunk.
She would come to the bar. She was sober. She would have a few drinks. We would talk. And then she would leave, go meet up with friends somewhere else at another location.
Yep, random guys, right?
And then, I don't know. And then
I body count.
We exchange phone numbers next episode.
Next episode.
Stay
tuned.
And you know, at some point we started meeting up or whatever. But when I started noticing is when I met up with her at whatever location after I had gotten off of work, was she was immensely intoxicated. So to the point where I was picking her up and dragging her out of the establishment, leaving her vehicle in the parking lot and returning the next morning to get it back. So needless to say, that lasted for about 2 to 3 months.
Wow, you dealt with that for 2 to 3 months?
Yeah. Well, because there was...
You were a different guy.
There was a time span where we wouldn't see each other. Okay. So I would be like, all right, I guess it's over at this point. I don't care. And then she'd pop right back in and I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever. Okay,
so you definitely were a different guy back then because a lot of what you said...
This is my early 20s, sir, so I didn't experience all of that yet.
I get you. Okay, this is young. So this was the purest form of the nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after dealing with that situation, I decided to break it off. And she was, you know, fighting with me about, you know, staying together, working it out, whatever, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I was like, no, absolutely not. I can't deal with this anymore. Flash forward 10 plus years later, I ran into her in like a random supermarket somewhere. I don't remember which one.
AA.
In public.
Right.
In public form.
Right.
And,
hi, she told me Manny. That my name is Manny and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Manny.
Wait, do I know you?
I was never an alcoholic, sir. I mean, I joke about it a lot, but I don't drink. I function a lot. Look at my eyes.
I know that's right.
And she actually approached me and she said that if it wasn't for the fact that I, you know, ended the relationship or whatever, she would have probably went down the horrible little rabbit hole that she put herself into, that it wasn't until after I broke it off that she realized that she was doing some shit that she shouldn't have done. And she saw God, started getting a whole religious atmosphere. Yeah. And she got married and all this stuff. You know, and turned her life around. And I was like, okay. I mean, to me, I was like, I don't really care, but congratulations. You know,
happy for you. You don't care. You. She's basically saying
that you saved her life. I hadn't spoken to her in so many years at that point. So,
but for somebody to come up to you and be like, check it out, you pretty much saved my life for what you did. That's profound.
I mean, gay. However, God rest her soul, she passed away 2 years after that. So, and what? I don't know what happened, what transpired, how it came about. I just saw a random post one day and I was just like, nah. Did a little digging and I was like, oh shit, it actually is real. And yeah. So wow. I don't know what happened, how it okay, happened.
There's this thing, right, where some people like when they think about ghosts, how some people on life support will stay alive long enough for people to come say goodbye to them and they pass away right afterwards. What if finally reconnecting with you and being able to tell you that you saved her life was enough for the universe to say, okay, good, now you can now die. We can now just get rid of you. That's crazy.
It was a crazy situation because
that's crazy.
I remember thinking like, damn, she, you know, she cleaned herself up. Yeah. She did the work, you know, and she's doing something better for herself. Not that it affects my life at all, but
right.
I was just like, wow, you know, and then now it's over.
What if your indifference to her profound statement to you caused her to get back on the bottle and that's what led to it? What if
I
What if you both saved
I ran into her that day, she was with her fiance or whoever
that doesn't
she
matter. Was. That doesn't matter. So, when you run into that person, it's a profound effect. If you'd be like, you know, Manny, you pretty much saved my life, and you were like, yeah, okay, cool.
I just looked at my phone and I just saw JJ.
What?
I looked at my phone and I backed out of the video that was playing on Facebook, and the first thing that popped up was JJ kissing his wife. As you're telling me, emotions and stuff. No. But I don't think it was that serious.
No, probably not. But it'd be funny if it was, if not tragic. That's crazy. That now see what I'm saying? You shared a story. That's damn. Hot damn. But then you just proved my point that you should get back out there and give these life lessons to these women. No. Because all you have to do is reach critical mass of women where they'll start telling their friends to live, and then when they have daughters, they'll raise their daughters right. And you could probably change the dating game in an entire generation. We won't see it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe our offspring won't see it, but our offsprings might see it. You might find a middle ground between a trad wife, a traditional wife, and a modern woman. I'm not saying modern women have to go away. I'm not saying traditional wives have to come back in full. But there is a balance between modern women and modern femininity and the traditional wife. You know what I'm saying? There is a balance, and you might be that key to reach the balance. You!
I don't think so.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in.
I disagree.
Thank you for checking in with us for another special. We are avoiding the 100 episode. Last of the Nice Guys special podcast.
Follow us as we continue avoiding 100 more.
Who says that? Yeah. Well, God, please no. Because these are train wrecks. I'm Jason. That's Manny. And thank you for your time.
The Last of the Nice Guys. Follow, like, and subscribe on Twitter and Instagram at Last Nice Guys. Facebook.com/Last Nice Guys or email lastoftheniceguys@yahoo.com.
This is an audio production of Vibe Revelation Studios, the cure for your common day. VibeRevStudios.com.